Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night.
Every night.
I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I hail.
Summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care, no,
no.
I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hood.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Budget live, not so live, from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill in beautiful southern Middle Tennessee. And this is the podcast for Monday, November the 6th, you bunch of dang lowlifers. And if you're just tuning in and you're confused, as sometimes I do read in the comments, what a lowlifer is, well, that's what the listeners of this show refer to themselves as. And they're a mighty, mighty loyal bunch of lowlifers. Indeed. Hope you're all doing well out there. I am trying to recover. Crazy week. It's always a crazy week around here. Y'all know that. I start every show by talking that way, it feels like, more times than not. And this past week has been an up and down week. And there are there's lots of things going on in the life of the lowlifer here himself. But lots of stressful, crazy, but also a really, really, really good week. Really good week. And got to spend some time. Y'all know me and my music. I love me some good music. And I am fortunate enough to get to spend some time with those Turnpike Troubadour boys. They were down in Huntsville, Alabama this past week. And I got to go see them and spend a little time with my buddy, old Ryan Engelman, and old Rooster himself, RC there in Turnpike. And got to see them play a show. And Blackberry Smoke opened for them. I love me some Blackberry Smoke. So does my son, Hudson. But the Triple Threat Hudson, and then Harper and her man, Keaton, all went down and watched Turnpike and Blackberry Smoke and Jason Bolin and the Stragglers. So fantastic week. But I had a fishing tournament. I was supposed to have a fishing tournament. I did attend the tournament. I didn't fish, it would appear. But neither did Trey Swindle. So that was all Thursday night. I practiced Thursday with Trey, drove back home, went to Huntsville, got in at 1 a.m, back to Smith to practice. Really took this event serious. And it didn't matter anyways, because it's the Jesse and Jordan Wiggins Open. I already said that on this podcast. But I'm worn out. I am worn out. I might not drink again for a while because of this week, but damn, had some Tito's this week. But I had a really good time. With all that, Trey and I always have a great time on the boat. But Saturday was a nightmare, dude. Saturday, Smith Lake suckery is what I will call what we the display that we put on. We had a pretty good game plan, I felt like, going in. And, man, when I tell you we put the dang forward-facing sonar on 9 million bass on Saturday, we put it on 9 million bass. There were we also saw 9 million boats. There was a high school event on top of the ABT 100 and looked like a couple hundred boats, and there were people everywhere, and I know, wah, cry me a river. But, man, it just seems like that's the case more and more on our fisheries now, and it does make it tough. It does make it tough, but inevitably the cream will rise to the top, and the Wiggins brothers, who were at freaking Table Rock Lake on Friday afternoon. They fished the Toyota Series, both qualified for the Toyota Series Championship out there. Drove all night home to come and win $32,000 on their home lake. Just add it to the pile of money that they've won over the years on Smith Lake. I don't know that there's ever been anglers on any lake that are as dominant as those boys are down there. And there have been some Smith Lake legends over the years, but these guys are just, they're amazing. They're great people to boot. And I'm proud to know those guys. And it just sucks competing against them sometimes. But we weren't a threat at all. Trust me, we tossed our little old keepers back. And did the walk of shame, got the hell out of there for the last tournament of the year. We were sore losers, to say the least. There was a lot of that going on. Got to see a lot of good fishing family down there, though. My buddy Johnny McCombs, Jordan Lee, so many folks. And I do want to say that there's a lot of light that gets, shined down here on negativity at times with all the craziness in pro fishing. But what the Alabama Bass Trail is and what team tournaments are, whether it's, you know, a bass club or, you know, whatever, that is what our sport thrives on. That is what our sport is to me. The camaraderie, the cutting up, the hammers that catch them. But that's what it's about. The pro fishing level, which I discuss on the show more times than not, obviously is just such a small part of the overall bass fishing ecosystem. And man, it's always, I'm just reminded every time I go to one of those ABTs, just how special our little part of the world is. And Miss Kay and team do a great job with that, obviously, in 10 years now in the running. But man, it's just everything. It's like what I say about MPFL. Yeah, it's a lot higher entry fee and things, but like it's that camaraderie. It's that family feeling. It's like the old FLW Tour days as well. Very cool. Very cool. But shout out to the Wiggins boys. Shout out to my buddy Goob, Jonathan Collins, Derek Hicks, won Angler of the Year. Jonathan had to fish by himself on the final day of the year there. Derek's father going through some health issues, so he wasn't able to make it out to the event. So super, super cool to see our buddy Jonathan win that. Almost perfect season again there, man. It's like Todd Godin, the MPFL. They did not miss it by much. They kicked everybody's teeth in this year. And those 100s, dude, pros, amateurs, it is absolutely stacked. Some of the best fishermen from around the Southeast in those things. And small field, big money. Paid out live coverage. It's a good time. Very good time. Something else that was announced at this ABT, Robbie Floyd, who I've had the honor of getting to sit in for him a couple times this year. You know, I talked about that on the show, but Robbie Floyd will no longer be emceeing on a regular basis next year. And he's been with Kay for 10 years. And I can tell you as an angler that fished the first 2 years of this new trail, the Alabama Bass Trail, I'll never forget when Kay and team put this out there, when it was announced that Robbie was going to be the guy, I was so shook by that. Man, this dude's going to be doing the weigh-in. And he does such a fantastic job. He's been in, you know, commentating classics, and he's worked with ESPN, and now he's doing a lot of the saltwater stuff with Saltwater Ron at times. Shout out Ronnie Moore as well. But Robbie is one of those voices in our sport that he's been fantastic, man. And the anglers love him. And I know I enjoyed getting to spend time with him and cut up with him and work with him there. And he's on his facts about all the anglers. And it's not an easy gig what he's done. And my hat's off to him. So I wish him the best of luck, Robbie Floyd. Want to thank the sponsors real quick. And then we've got an interview with one of our old buddies. I guess this might break the record for the most time somebody's been on it. OBL. Startron, kicking ethanol in the teeth, and you're radiator in your chainsaw, but in your outboard engine that's going to sit idle potentially this time of year where you might be in the woods, your lakes might be frozen over. Better put you some Startron in the tank, make sure ethanol does not gum up the works. And I sounded like Trump, and gum up the works. Sounded like Trump. It's terrible. I don't do a good Trump. I do not do a good Trump, so I'm not going to go there. Been watching a lot of Shane Gillis lately, comedian Shane Gillis, and he absolutely crushes a Trump. Sorry. So I think Trump or, you know, whoever, like whoever your favorite politician is, they probably would use StarTron if they were smart. But a lot of politicians aren't smart. StarTron kicking it on the teeth. That's a weird ad read. I don't know. ProGuide Batteries, ProGuideBatteries.com is where you can find those beautiful little square critters that will run your bass boat, your trolling motor, all those graphs. A Fish With Trey, he's got 47,000 graphs on the front of that Phoenix. They're everywhere. It's ridiculous. You can barely get in the damn boat. The Hummingbird 360s, so much crap. I don't even know where you, I don't even know how you rig all this crap. You can barely pick up the damn trolling motor when you get to running spots. But ProGuide will power all of it or as little of it. Maybe you just want your trolling motor to be always on fire. Well, those new lithiums will do that. You can use code LBL10 to let them know you are a low life or get you a little break. Get you a little break. Rigging out boats. Hey, man, every little bit helps this time of year. There's no doubt about it. ProGuideBatteries.com. Bait-works.com. Bait-works.com. WRX. Bait-wrx.com is where you can find all of your online tackle needs. And you can find this little... this little critter right here that let me and little Trey down. We pulled up Thursday in practice, and his first cast with an LOB to a brush pile, he caught a nearly 4-pound spotted bass. And that was the last bite we had on the LOB. To be fair, we didn't throw it a ton. But we did try on a Hail Mary yesterday to fish some brush late. But the LOB jig, designed really for this time of the year, this fall transition time, things get tough. You got a lot of bright bluebird days. The finer than frog hair skirt material shines this time of year in 7 amazing colors, a custom Trocar hook, and it's sticky, and it gets them a 3-0 Trocar. Go check it out. Available in 2 sizes, the LOB. It's got Low Budget Live right there on the package. And if you or anybody you know, and I know I've had a couple of y'all reach out, have a tackle store interested in those, they have been a Baitworks exclusive, but we're going to try to get them to some local shops moving forward as well. So just hit me up with that information, and we will gladly get some LOBs in your neighborhood. That way you can just run down the road. But the thing with Baitworks is if you hit order, it's finna show up. Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it, or here's your baits. They're going to get them to you. Bait-works.com. Duncan-10 is how you can save money and let them know you're a lowlifer right there. And last but not least, hang the imaginary banner. Express Boats, the original all-welded beast of a bass boat. 96-inch beam in that X21. 21 feet of fury. Fastest hole shot in the game. I've had people go, well, what about this boat? I don't know. I've never driven those. But I can tell you this. It goes, beep, and you're gone. No matter the weight, boop, see ya. Such a blazing shot, hole shot with that Yamaha show on the back, 250 Yamaha show. Amazing tackle storage. Love that X21. They've got the X19. They've got multiple versions of aluminum bass boats for you to check out to fit any budget, really. They've also got the Veranda pontoon line if you're looking to try to take your lady out for a ride. Maybe, you know, see where the night goes. Maybe you got a lake house. Maybe you're bougie like that. Veranda pontoons also. Express Boats, building excitement since 1966 in Hot Springs, Arkansas. All right. So this guy, speaking of aluminum boats, this guy right here, he made aluminum boats cool. He really did. At a national level, at a professional level, he's like, you know what? You don't have to have the glittery fiberglass. You don't have to spend $100,000. You don't even have to have damn electronics. You can take a hook and a Berkeley General wacky worm, and you can do work. He finished 12th in the MPFL points this year. He finished 12th in the Bassmaster Elite Series points. He got a win on the Tackle Warehouse Pro Circuit. He is one of my favorite people that I've ever encountered on this beautiful planet Earth of ours. He is all positivity all the time, and he is a absolute fantastic human being. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got an official, very official Low Budget Live Cox Watch to wrap up his crazy season to talk about next year. Here he is from DeBary, Florida, John Cox. Ladies and gentlemen, as promised, here he is, an official Cox Watch. Where's my Cox Watch button? Oh, there it is. He's got a sound effect and everything. It's been a minute, buddy, but welcome back.
Man, it's good. Good to see you.
Good to see you, buddy. I talked to you. We were going to try to do one in person a couple weeks ago. You were pretty close for the Toyota Series. Toyota Series, listen to me, the Toyota Owners event down in Florence, Alabama, because you win all the Toyota bonus bucks, apparently, and you were down there doing a photo shoot, but I had a million things going. You had to get to the last MPFL of the year so you could go catch them. So here we go, the next best thing via the internets.
Right. Yeah, this is awesome. It has been so busy. It's been a super busy year. Man, it's winding down now, and I thought I was going to be able to relax, but like last week, you know, it's just getting prepared for the next year, you know, and it's just, and getting caught up on everything, you know, watched you and Watson the other day, and like, you know, I'm just like, you know, you got to get caught up on all that stuff. I miss it all when I'm traveling so much, and, you know, but it was pretty cool. I got caught up on a lot of podcasts I miss.
Keith texted me this week and said you guys had watched it, and he was laughing his ass off. And dude, he's kind of caught up in the crosshairs of that, right? Because he qualified for that BPT, and he's got to finish, I guess, in the top 10 to retain a spot, or he's out, right?
Right. Yeah. He is. He's a little worried. I feel like I have confidence in him that I think he'll be able to do it. But yeah, that is. It's kind of nerve wracking, you know, having to jump into those and fish against those guys that are so good and have to finish in the top 10 to keep your job. Cause like when he made it, you know, like I even told him, like, dude, you're set up now, you know, you're
that's
like,
it, right?
You're in, like, you goal. Know, like, I don't think he's going to fall out of the bottom for a while. And I was really happy for him, but and then everything coming up, but, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, that's slightly what worries me about the whole thing. You know, it's like there's going to be at some point where I'm going to be at that down the list, you know, and it's just like, gosh, it's just terrible to take someone that's making $100,000 in sponsorship money and lose it, you know.
Oh, I get it. And you know, you'll see comments. Well, if you don't do your job, you should be fired from your job. But
yeah,
there are different jobs in professional fishing. I think
right.
You could say you are a tournament angler first and foremost, and you do make money that way. You win money, but you have a stable of sponsors, and Keith's gaining on that too, right? Like he's through his performance in MPFL, through the pro circuit, like he is gaining sponsors, and his job off the water is to represent those guys. And that's a paycheck. It's same as it is for you and so many other pros. And I think that's where the guy that doesn't compete professionally or doesn't do that for a living, maybe doesn't understand that. Yeah, I get that. Okay, I didn't make the top whatever, send me on home, but you also are employed and your sponsor right. likes you for all the reasons, not just your tournament finishes, I guess right. is what I'm getting at. So it's going to be brutal for some of those guys. And I do hate it for Keith because, man, I just obviously MPFL-wise, getting to spend so much time with him, he's an amazing human. Even though his friends are shady and no, he's incredible. And dude, I think he'll be fine. It would suck if he finished 11th and gets back
right.
after right. dedicating 2 years to that, you know,
right.
He was somebody when I kind of went on my first rant about it, that was definitely mm-hmm. in my head, a guy like him, guys like Matt Steffen, you just know what they put into it, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And you think even Matt Steffen, he dedicated everything, like, you know, quit his job. Like, I mean, he had a good job. I mean, I don't remember exactly. He was accounting or something with something where he was making good money. And, you know, he just bailed on it all for this. And now he's at that point where he's going to, you know, he's made it. And so it's kind of, you know, it is terrible for them guys. But
he got his first win this year, like notches a win. Then he qualifies. And now it's like, okay, that was fun. Now I got 1 year to either, you know, put up or shut up, I guess. And you get set back. And I do want to go back to the fact that you said you're going to be on the bottom of a list. I mean,
one day.
You think? Does that happen to you? I don't think.
Well, you don't know. I mean, I'm so stubborn. I don't want anything to change, you know, and I feel like I've spent all this time to get to this point. know, that I just don't want to, you know, I just don't want to jump on the whole, you know, forward facing stuff. And, but I have to admit, I have two more days to get an alligator. We have one tag left, and I did put it on the boat last night because it's been so tough, and they go down, and we're terrible at it. We don't know what we're doing, but I'm hoping that the forward facing will help us get one in the next 2 days.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I got to do this again. Where's the, I'm looking for my, this is breaking news. This is Cox Watch. There is a forward facing sonar transducer on a boat owned by John Cox, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
You're all of you diehard anti forward facing sonar people. You can cry yourself to sleep tonight knowing.
We're not going to go bass fishing though. We're just going to try it to get an alligator. And then, so I don't need any hate mail or anything. I'm still not going to use it. It's not on my turn. It's honestly not even on my boat. It's on one of my old boats that my brother-in-law has now.
Okay. That's allowed. No hate mail. No, don't get in his DM. You broke my non-sonar having heart. Because, dude, do you feel a responsibility a little bit? Because I feel like you represent a group of people that are like you and I, where they're stubborn, set in their ways, and they don't want to see bass fishing change. And you're their guy. Like, you see it in the comments, like after this MPFL, you didn't have a graph, and it's like, see, you don't have to have that. John Cox is showing you why. Do you feel that responsibility, that pressure sometimes?
I do a little for, like, you know, for all the people out there that are broke, kind of like, you know, I was forever.
Oh, every fisherman.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I was like fishing from the bank all the time, you know, and just like, I mean, I remember when I had to sell my first John boat to get my bass boat, just to put a trolling motor on my new bass boat, you know, like, just, yeah, everything's, you know, so expensive. So I just trying to give everybody some hope that, yeah, you can kind of hang with these guys if you don't have it. But getting tougher and tougher, I'm not gonna lie.
Well, I had that in my questions, because you and I talked about that a little bit at the MPFL event at Lanier, where you were fifth after the first 2 days. You were kind of you know, one rod John there, throwing a Berkeley Nessie, and then broke out a cane walker.
Let me just hold on. That's one similar that I was getting them on. Have you seen that yet?
No, it's very, very, very sexy.
Yeah, that thing works so good.
It's
crazy.
Well, now you're expanding your horizons. You're a glide bait guy. You're a cranker now. There's so many things. You'll be a forward-facing sonar gator hunter. you're really getting outside the John Cox box. But we did. We talked there in an interview, and you said, yeah, next year I think I might have to play with forward facing more. And man, you finished 12th. You only fished 5 MPFLs. You finished 12th in our standings. You finished 12th in the Bassmaster Elite Series standings, far and away making the Classic. I mean, looking at the schedule next year, is that what makes you think that? Or is it just the overwhelming, like, what we're seeing? Do you just think if you don't kind of at least somewhat adapt it to your fishing, you're going to get left behind? What are your thoughts on why you would try it?
Well, I just see it as, I mean, this year I got lucky and won the one, you know, me and Keith got first and second. They were spawning really well. But some of my other top tens, it was like my day went like I won the tournament. Like, I mean, how I've won in the past, like things have gone right. I made a stop, called a big one at the end, whatever it was. And I was still 6 to 7 pounds short of winning, you know? Yeah. So like I'm coming in, I like have that same feeling like I won, but not even being close. So like, I realize that a lot now. And so that, I guess that's kind of where I'm feeling like, you know, I'm going to have to adapt eventually if I want to have a shot at winning, you know, cause I mean, especially, you know, we don't know if we're going to hit any of the spawns next year, unless something happens maybe at the MPFL championship on Amistad. I don't really know exactly where that is, but you know, if something happens in there,
basically in Tijuana,
yeah, so somewhere out there. But yeah, so I mean, you just, I don't know. You just don't know. And I mean, the guys coming up, they're younger, they're a lot smarter and quicker with that stuff. And it was kind of cool. Cause Todd Goad, won our AOY.
Yeah.
And he's an older guy. And I think he adapted to it pretty well, you know, to win AOY.
For sure. And he's also a bank. He can beat the bank. He can skip docks. Like, Todd's a really well-rounded angler, but it is interesting. And I had him on the show this past week, and he talked about how he utilized active target more and more and more, but he still has that old school mentality a lot as well.
Yeah. See that, I don't know if I would be able to, like, I'm an all in kind of person. So that's what scares me. I put it on, you know, am I going to do like Keith and be out in 100 feet of water most of the time?
No, he is anymore.
He does now. It's sickening when he tells me. I'm like, oh gosh.
But I think you will get hate mail. If there's no general, there's no wacky general. If there's no slobber knocker, if there's no swim jig, you're getting hate mail. You're getting it from me. Okay. Yeah. Just know that. And I like forward facing. I think it's amazing. It's also very frustrating at times, but I think that, like, you're the hope. you're the hope for the world. I think it's the way you're looking at that is pretty amazing that most of the wins do come from that and have in the last couple of years, it sure seems. And yeah, you're knocking out those classics, which make careers, but you're also a guy that in the last, let's say, 5 years, you've won a good damn bit, or 6 years, you've won a lot.
Right.
But you won this year. You said you got lucky.
I mean, that one, I showed up. Keith was kind of like, hey, you need to come down here and fish by me because they're starting to pull up. And so I just went down there. Like, it wasn't, that was probably one of the best tournaments ever, but I also felt so terrible at the same time because I was like, you know, I thought Keith had me. I was like, you know, he's got 20-something pounds. He's going to beat me by a pound. And, you know, I barely had enough or whatever. But, yeah, I don't know. I had a lot of them, when we were in Oklahoma, like my day three at Oklahoma for MPFL, like I was bouncing around. I was catching nice fish. And I was like, man, it was just the tournament went so well. But I think, you know, I finished like 9th or 10th or somewhere there, you know, I like didn't lose any, like nothing really, you know.
I felt like you were having that day.
Day. Like it felt good. I was moving around, you know, and, you know, I just don't know, you know, with the forward facing, you know, if, you know, it's hard to hang when everybody else can see them out there, you know.
Man, but you're doing a pretty damn good job.
I'm gonna keep trying. You know, I mean, I feel like if I win now, I feel like it's huge. Like if somehow next year with the elite schedule, how everything's kind of moved around a little bit later and stuff. Like if I somehow am able to win one of those or win one of the MPFLs, man, it'll be like even a bigger accomplishment. You know, being the, you know, this day and age and stuff. I feel like, you know.
Oh, I think so. But dude, that still exists. And do you think though, and we've talked about this and I've heard Greg Hackney say things like this, where will there be a moment, because obviously not all fish live out suspended in 20 feet of water. So you have to throw ice jigs and, you know, crappie jigs at them to get them to bite and rubber dice and all this weird shit we're having to use. Yeah,
whatever that stuff is.
Yeah, whatever that stuff. You and I actually had a pretty funny text combo this week about the same thing. Like, what in the hell happened? Like, when could we not just go throw a buzz bait anymore? Yeah. When did that change? Like, I meant this weekend that I should have been able to just, I don't know, go throw a square bill and catch 15 pounds, but like, you just can't do that anymore, it feels like. But there are a lot of fish that do live on the bank. Do you think that it doesn't, you don't feel like it benefits a guy like you who is an expert? You wrote the book on shallow water angling. You don't feel like that it's beneficial to you in some way that everybody goes out there looking around all the time?
I mean, I would like to think it is, but like, I'm not catching many fish.
Really?
Okay. Anywhere we go. Yeah. I'm like, you know, I mean, I don't know if you watch any, I mean, some of the MPFL, I mean, like I'm going all day to get those five, you know, and sometimes they don't come until like the last hour. And like, it's, if I was catching a ton of fish, I'd be like, oh man, this is great. You know, got the bank to myself. But it just seems like, you know, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like the fishing's been that good.
Have the fish moved out there though, do you think, because of fishing pressure? But like, do they go out there because there are 3,000 high school tournaments a weekend and college tournaments? And
I mean, there's, you know what I mean? There's still a lot of guys out there beating the bank. Like any of these tournaments we go to, I mean, I'm like fishing around a lot of locals still fishing the bank, you know? Yeah. And so maybe that's what it is. It's just, there's so many people doing it now, pretty much since, you know, COVID and everything, and everybody started fishing a lot, which is good. Everybody's getting out on the water. Sure. But that was, you know, kind of like what Hackney was saying, you know, everybody being out there, like, I wonder, is there going to be a point in time where those fish are like, hey, I'm going to go hide under
a
piece of wood or whatever, because I'm tired of getting zapped out there in open water, you know, which I don't know if that will happen or not, but, you know, we'll just have to see. And that's kind of what I'm holding out on. That's like one thing in the back of my head where I'm like, I'm not going to put it on right now, because if I can just hang in there, you know, maybe it, you know, because if it does, you know, swap like that, I feel like I could get a year or two, really good year or two in before, you know, before it changes, you know. So,
well, for me, I feel like if I could finish in 12th place every year in the Bassmaster Elite Series or higher for the rest of my life, I just would never put the damn thing on. And I would just
I'm trying to be okay with that, but I'm usually happy, but I get frustrated, man. When I feel like I have a shot to win, or like have, you know, or if I finish in the top and everybody else is zapping them out in the open water, you know, I'm just like, gosh, I'm just, you know, I don't know. I'm like happy for them, you know, but I'm also pissed off at the same time.
Well, and the thing is, bass are bass, right? And like, you're obviously excellent at catching them. So if you move out there, I feel like these guys are really in for a ride. Because that deal out, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. I something happens to me when I move off the bank. I don't know what it is.
I'm shaking.
Yeah, I just like, I'm just lost. Like, now, if I have someone running the trolling motor, someone else, I can fish off the bank all day long. But like, when I'm like up front there, I just get drawn to that shallower water, you know.
Same.
Whether you catch them or not, you know.
Same.
You know, I'm like, I gotta go throw at that log over there. I gotta go hit that dock over there.
So, I could literally be offshore on 100 fish school and be like, damn, them docks look good up there.
Yeah.
Wanna skip my jig up there so bad. Like, it's so deep inside of me that I can't shake.
Yeah.
And look, I'll say this, to be fair, a guy like Patrick Walters, who is obviously he's top five in the AOI in the Elite Series the last 5 years. He's won 3 MPFLs. He's top 10, you know, MPF. He's having his career is ridiculous. And he was doing that before forward facing came out in college, to be fair, but he is very, very dialed on forward facing. I've spent a lot of time over his shoulder this year with MPFL, obviously, and he's on Bassmaster Live and things as well. But I'll say this with MPFL, he'll also sneak up there and skip him one under a dock every now and then. Yeah. Don't be fooled. My man is really, really good.
Oh, no.
Shallow water.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, 100%. I mean, we knew when Patrick was in college, we were like, when this guy comes up, you know, we're doomed. Like, we already knew that before. So.
And he enjoys being a problem. Like, he likes looking at you and going, yeah, I'm a problem. Fat Cat calls him Dale Earnhardt. He's the intimidator.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
He does enjoy it. Well, dude, so you mentioned MPFL next year, our schedule. You talk about the Elite. So and I don't think you've made a social post or anything, because obviously the season just now ended with MPFL for this year. But what are your official plans, if you don't mind sharing here with the low lifers? You've had a crazy, we've done this a time or two, you and I, on this show, where you're like, you pulled out a piece of paper one time and you're like, this is everywhere I'm going. That was a couple years ago and it was mind blowing. But what next year look like?
So, I mean, right now, the way it's looking like I'm going to do the Bass Elites and the NPFL. I was trying to jump into a couple of the invitationals. I think I can make like 2 of them, but they're going to have to see if they can squeeze me in them or not. I think they go to like Rayburn and Detroit at the end. Those are the 2 I can make. But yeah, I went, I paid my elite entries right up to the, you know, the, you know, May, I think. So I'm like solid till then. So, and then I don't know what I'll do after that. Put the forward facing on, quit. I don't know. So,
just hanging out with those beautiful trophies.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, it goes, and it's crazy. Like my, starts in the end of February. I'll go to like, let me think. I think it's like, the two in Texas, I think Toledo Bend Fork. Then we go to Amistad for the championship. For NPFL, and then Red Crest at Lay Lake, and then Bassmaster Classic. So all this is in a row. Yeah. So I'm like, gosh, I just hope, like, you always hope to get on a roll, but those would be like, I mean, gosh, you could just, yeah, if it all will click for those 5 weeks.
I was going to say, not only are those big, nice trophies, and to be fair, I haven't seen the NPFL championship trophy. I think they're working on something special for that, but nice. That's a one in say 27, 28 chance at, I forget what the overall number is of qualifiers, but because we took, it was win and you're in and the top 25 in the AOI. So I think that thing's going to shake out around 28, 29, right, maybe. So that's a one at $100,000. Everybody gets a check. Very cool deal. Yep. And then you go to the Classic. Everybody gets a check. $300,000 first place. And then Red Crest, however that works, flip-flop.
I think it's Red Crest and Classic.
Okay. And then and Red Crest is where it's Lay Lake, right?
Yeah, Lay Lake. Yep.
Coosa River. Yeah. Yep. I mean, you know, but you add all that money up, you have $700,000 just hanging out there in that month. That's a pretty good money.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, it's really exciting. And that's what I'm trying to prepare for those 5 to 6 weeks. You know, I want to be like, have everything ready to go. And, you know, hopefully I'll make my money then. And then, we can ride out the rest of the season.
Man, I think that people listening probably think you're joking, but I know you well enough to know that you're not.
Yeah, no, I'm dead serious. So, I mean, it's just,
It's volatile, man. The sport of professional fishing is very volatile, dude.
You just don't know. I mean, every day I go, you know, even when you think something, it always changes on you, you know, and you have to adapt every day and stuff. And not only do you have to be on, I mean, I wake up sometimes on the wrong side of the bed. I forget what I'm doing and I'm out there, you know, casting. And I'm like, you know, knowing I need to get it together, you know, and, you know, it's hard to, you know, that's what's crazy about AOI. Like I haven't like, the only thing I ever won AOI, I mean, I've been close a couple times, but I mean, it's like, gosh, you have to be on top of it every day, day in, day out. You can't have any bad days, you know, and I mean, I would love to win it, you know, but I almost feel like it's not possible anymore without the forward facing. That's part of the reason I was thought about, you know, bringing, because especially like, look at these smallmouth tournaments, you know.
Yeah, I get that.
I mean, before forward facing, you know, those last couple years before it, like I was leading a lot of those smallmouth ones, and I was like, man, this is great. And then forward facing come out, and I was like, gosh, just let me get a check somehow, you know.
Yeah, so, you guys go there. What, on the elite two smallmouth events next year?
Yeah, I think we'll do Champlain and St. Lawrence, probably, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. And then you, with NPFL, we've only got one. We got Saginaw Bay, but then we've got the John Cox Open down there, St. John's River in September. How will they fish? Because I've seen people in the comments, just fans, you know, not competitors, like, it's bull crap. They're going there. It's going to suck. Is it going to suck? Or is it going to, I mean,
it's really all depending on the hurricanes. Like, if we don't have any hurricanes and the water kind of stabilizes, it'll probably be pretty decent. It'll be better than a lot of places that you could go to in September. You know, if we get a hurricane, it could get kind of tough. But I think what our group of NPFL guys will discover, which, I mean, some local guys already have, but we're going to see a lot of our guys scoping them on the shell bars and catching them, and they're going to smash them. They're going to catch some big ones. So I'm kind of curious to see how that one even plays out, because, you know, a lot of the guys around here are using it and stuff, but I mean, there's like, you know, there's some untouched stuff that I feel like when our group comes there that they'll learn and figure out, you know, and that's my favorite part of the river we're going to, out of DeLand. I mean, you can go north up to George, or you can go south down to Monroe where I'm at. And, it's just, you know, it's just, it's huge playing field. It's 35 miles per hour through 90% of it, but, you know, but it's
out of the land it is because of no wake zones. And
all the manatee zones. Yeah. But yeah.
Manatees ruin everything. Really ruin everything.
I know. I would love to hate on them, but like our Airbnb, that's what everybody comes down to see, the manatees. so we're like,
you're profiting off of sea cows.
Yeah. Book it up. Come see the sea cows.
The sea cows while I idle by. Actually, they're really cool. I don't know what they do. They just kind of lumber around like I do in the swimming pool. Is kind of what they look like.
Pretty much.
Yeah, they just kind of roam around. They'll scare the piss out of you. I've seen them at Okeechobee before, and you're like, what the? Like, they come out of nowhere, and you're like, why are you here? I'm flipping a grass mat. I don't know what that thing is. I remember going down there. I was like 19, and I saw one like the first trip.
Right.
What just happened? Why is that thing here? It's crazy, dude.
It is. It doesn't seem like he should be in the water. It's like having cows without fences.
For sure.
You know, out there on the highway or something. You know, it's just too, it's, it just always seems so dangerous with them out there. Well,
I was going to ask, do you think you've ever hit one?
Absolutely not.
On this camera, for sure.
Yeah, never hit one. Never. No, those are just logs that I remember.
Nothing will crush a crestliner like a manatee. I guess. I mean, my goodness.
That's terrible.
That is terrible. I doubt that would happen. If John Cox can't demolish an aluminum boat, it can't be demolished. Let's just be honest. Dude, let's talk about that a little bit. So I think you're the guy that, and Poche, he's got the aluminum thing going. He's got a big fan following. Everybody likes Keith and his crazy ways. But I think you're obviously the guy that made aluminum cool, man. You went through a freaking pipe down there on the Red River with a board as a push pole. Like, you've done it all. And you fished glass. Like, you were a glass guy when you kind of first came back on the scene, FLW-wise. And then you went aluminum, and you've never turned around. And you're the guy that has made that so popular and has shown, hey, you can do that. Now, Bassmaster Classic, two Bassmaster Classics have been won out of aluminum boats. Insane, man.
Yeah,
you start a revolution.
No, it is crazy, you know. And it's always been there. Like, there was always these signs, like, you know, like I had my motor blow one time when I was going to, I think I was fishing Kentucky Lake, and I borrowed a boat from one of my buddies there at Clark's Marine, and he gave me aluminum to use, and I was like, man, this is nice. Like, you know, this is kind of like, you know, this is like my, you know, John Boat Club days, but like really, really nice, you know. And it's just crazy all these years later, you know, I just found myself, you know, in the Crestliner. And it's evolved from day one. Like, I remember when we only had a 135 and FLW said we had a 150 after a one at the Red River. And when they came out with the one with the 150, I ran that one. It was, a 19 foot. For years, and then someone was like, you know what, we need to make you a little bit bigger one. And I was like, all right. And then, you know, now we have 21s and 19s with, you know, 250s, you know. So it's definitely changed over the years. And I love it. I love my boat, you know.
I love that rule change. Anybody that gets a rule change after them is a legend in my mind. Like, if you do something and they're like, shit, we missed. We got to change.
I think they might have had it before, and then they took it away for someone. Because I'm sure someone else did something that was, you know. But
they took away jets because not everybody had access to a jet drive, which I think is
right.
BS. To be honest, because, and I get it if like you're borrowing one from your local buddy and he says, oh, you can take this over these shoals. And I get why the rule's there. But also, dude, I owned a jet for a long time in my early 20s, and I fished some tournaments out of that I thought I was going to crack them in places. And when it changes and you're running around trying to fish, you know, in the middle of the lake in a 17 foot boat with 40 horse jet, like, you're done for. How about that? Like, you are. So it's risk and versus reward, right? I mean, it just is.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I love that. Like, hey man, you want to roll up in the jet drive, then go for it. Try. If you beat
it, it doesn't work all the time. You know, I look at the many times I've tried to, get away from everything and fish something untouched. And it's worked out twice, Red River and Forest Woodcuff on Wheeler.
I was going to say Huntsville, yeah.
Yeah, those are the two times that I can really remember where it actually worked, you know. And I can think of 100 times it didn't work.
I was going to say, and 100 might be putting it lightly because, dude, like I said, when I had that jet boat, and I was young and really stupid then, way more stupid than I am now, at least I think. I've at least got some wisdom. Dude, I would be like, look at that ditch right there. I bet there's something in the back of it. And this was before Google Earth. Yeah. I would like end up in people's cow pastures and shit. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, and you never found something that was a winning spot. Like, I can think of like three times I found something kind of halfway special in a BHL or something, right? Like, and ultimately, though, you just waste a lot of time. You see some cool stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fun.
The whole adventure of it all. Yeah. That's what, you know, when you're trying to find, you don't know what's there, you know, so, you know, being positive, you're like, oh man, I'm going to get there and it's going to be loaded with 4 and 5 pounders. And then, you know, sometimes it just dries up and doesn't go anywhere.
Or you get one bite that leads you astray. It's like, whoa.
Oh yeah. And then you're struggling during the day and you're like, I got to go look at it. Happened to me quite a bit.
I think my favorite John Cox Instagram moment sharing your insanity. We were at Rayburn in January, and I know you're going to remember this, but Rayburn in January for an FLW event in 19. It was one Terry Bolton won. The water was super high. And I remember you posting a story and you were up this, I mean, it was truly a ditch somewhere. I don't know where you were at, but you ended up catching them. It was cold as crap and you caught them on a frog.
Oh yeah.
And I'll never forget stupid Todd Castledine, who knows everything, you know, about everything. Just ask him. And he goes, I was staying with him. And he goes, he's not going to catch him here. There's no way. That doesn't work. And he's just like saying all this stuff. And you got to check. I think you might have made the cut. And Todd didn't. And I was like, hey, stupid, maybe you should get an aluminum boat and go throw a frog when there's frost everywhere.
That water was like low 50s.
Yeah,
they're eating that frog back there. I could not believe it. It was unbelievable. That was honestly one of my better fishing days at Rayburn. Which it wasn't like normally you go out there and you're grinding and stuff.
Yeah,
but man, they were just. It was like I'm sure they didn't see it all year, you know, because it was so cold. But till then, it was amazing. That was a super cool tournament.
But I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the social clips were great. Your boat was just, of course, covered in mud and just sticks and whatever else. And I'll just never forget. Todd's like, wasted his time.
That was always so fun. That's when I had Benji with me. So he was always getting video and stuff. He's like, I gotta film this. I'm like, I don't know if you should, Benji. I don't know if we should video any of this.
I've seen Benji, shout out Benji, fishing Alabama Bass Trail with his brother.
Oh yeah. How'd he do?
He kicked my ass. He as usual, every tournament I'm ever in. I mean, I think I've beat him once all year. I don't know. I think they got paid. I think got paid up. I never ran into him yesterday afternoon. I saw him in the morning, but I never saw him yesterday afternoon. Good. That's good people right there, John Cox. You know that. That was.
He helped me tremendous. I was a bit of a slacker when Benji started traveling with me, and he was always like, "You want Scott Martin to beat you?" He's like, "You get out of that bed and get in the truck." And then he'd drive me out to practice. Like it would be dark still, and we'd dump into practice. He's like,
"Why are we doing this?"
Yeah, I'm like, "What are we doing?" Yeah, he's like, "You're putting in a full day every day." So we practice so hard, you know, and. Boy, those were some fun times.
And I remember you would hopscotch ramps back then. I'd see you in places, and then I'd see you another place later, and you're like, yeah, we're just putting in. Like, you're up at a boat ramp at like 10:30. I'm like, where the hell are you going? You're like, somewhere else. We're going to put it in. Hopscotch ramp.
I haven't had a bite in a little while. We did a lot of driving around.
A lot of hopscotch. But, man, Benji, those were – dude, FL, how fun. And I think this is where – people – some of my, you know, rants against MLF or whatever that gets misguided, but I don't think they understand how great the FLW tour was.
Oh no, I loved it. I mean,
it was so much fun.
Yeah. And I mean, the whole time it was good. I just, those last few years, me and Benji got to go, some of the other guys that got to go, had their dads with them.
Yeah. You know,
Alex had his dad with them.
Yes.
I think Jimmy Houston had his wife with him. Like, yep. It was, you know, it was nice. I kind of missed that. You know, I know they don't want anybody to give them more of an edge or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, a lot of times Benji was just like more motivating me and making me, he would be like, you want peanut butter crackers? And I'd be like, yeah. And I think he's going to throw me, you know, a pack of peanut butter ones, but he's back there with the saltines, putting peanut butter out of a jar on it and then bringing it up and handing it to me. I was like, this is the best.
There were so many, and co-anglers, there are pros and cons, right? Like, some of my best memories were when I fished as a co-angler in those, and then some of my closest friends to this day were folks that I met that were co-anglers then.
Oh, 100%.
It was just especially the guy, you know, you had locals that would sign up to fish one event, of course, but there was a group of co-anglers, and I was one of those, and it was a tight-knit group, man. Hell, I was talking, like, Joey Fuentes, he fished as a co-angler when Brian knew. These guys were all co's when I was. And we're all traveling. John Hunter, VPT Pro, was out there. Thrifty.
When I was doing co-angler, Thrift was doing co-angler. Like, I was, and Thrift was so good then. Yeah, it was just.
Anthony Gagliardi, Scott Martin was a co-angler. Matt Airy was a co-angler. Yeah. So many good co-anglers in the FLW days. I'm probably leaving somebody out, and I'm sorry if I am, but Todd Lee, you know him, Todd Lee.
Todd Lee beat me every time.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Every time. Every time he taught me so much, and he would always be like, I'd be like, Todd, you're so good. And he's like, it's not me. It's that little pink worm I throw, you know? And I'm like, okay, I buy that, whatever. But then we go the next time and he whoops me on a big swim bait, you know?
Yep.
It's just, Todd catches him.
Dude, we pulled up at Hartwell one time and I had a big one on the bed I was going to start on, and I roll up there and I pull down, and he throws that stupid pink worm out in the middle of the pocket on nothing. I like, I had my depth finder off the back. He didn't even know how deep it was. He throws it up and he's like, geek, and catches us like a 6 pound.
Yeah. And he was the perfect, besides always catching a perfect coat. He never threw. He was always out of your way. Like, he would try so hard not to do anything to mess me up.
Yeah,
but then I'm just netting those big ones all day long for him. Like, I remember one time I was like, he's catching them on the swim bait, and I'm like, Todd, can I get your rod? Can I just make it? You got three big ones in there. Can I get your rod? He hands me his rod. I launch that swim bait out there. I take 3-4 cranks. One hits it. He has the drag set so tight. I set the hook, and the whole rod comes out of my hands, and I lose the fish. And I was just, I was just like, I'm just not supposed to catch him today.
Yeah.
But, yeah, super nice guy. I mean, to give your boater his rod to make a cast, like, it's just, he's a good dude.
I drew Brian New in a tournament on Kentucky Lake that I made the cut in. And had Brian not been with me, I don't think I would have made the cut at all, because I got so mentally spun. I crushed him the first day, was sitting up there pretty good, and I was running way down to New Johnsonville, like 9 miles, you know. And I got there, and a local that watched me, it was like, pulls up, asks if he can watch me the day before. I'm like, yeah, man. He's like clapping when I'm catching him. I'm like, yeah, me and this guy are friends. This is awesome.
Yeah.
And I got down there the next morning, and he's sitting there like, burp, burp, burp. And I'm like, hey, man, not cool. And none of our guys anywhere around. And I said, do you mind if I pull up there? And he's like, you could keep your ass right where you're at. And I'm like, did my wife send you? What happened? Like, And I'm like, I thought we were cool. And he's like, you think I need some pro to show me how to fish my home? And he was super agitated that anyway. So Brian knew's like, hey man, just calm down. And I'm like, all right. And I just kind of hang back there. And dude, he catches like three big ones in front of him, and he holds them up and goes, seen all I need to see. I've got a tournament tomorrow. And I was like, bro, you knew they were here. Why did you even do this? Like, what?
Yeah.
I'm so confused. And he's like, I'll be here in the morning if you make the cut. And I'm like, you don't have to worry about that, I don't think, because you just, you know, wrecked my area for an hour before I got here. So anyways, the guy pulls off. I pull up there and can't get bit. New throws a drop shot, ends up catching two behind me, and then it just dies. And I had been catching them shallow down there too. And I said, dude, I'm going to go to the bank, It's the only chance I got. And he's like, absolutely. And man, he stayed, and I had a stretch they were on, dude. And I started flipping willows. I ended up catching them and making the cut. But had Brian not been with me that day, I don't think I would have ever mentally been able to stay in, because he just kept going, hey man, this kind of stuff happens. You gotta, he was just back there. He's such a good dude. But I'll tell you something else about him that amazed me. He had the straps off of the boat, the motor toter off before I could even turn around. Like, he's ready to go. Like, Brian's ready to go. Right. But they had a rule. He was so smart. And I knew then, obviously, his fishing record. But Brian, if the pro's feet weren't on the front deck, the co-angler couldn't cast. You remember that rule? Like, you couldn't. Yeah. Feet had to be up front, right? So if you're culling, if you're catching them, if you're tying something on, they can't cast back then. And Brian, buddy, when I caught my first one, he was handing me a culling float to put off out of my live. Yeah. He was in there. He's like, he like dipped it up, best net man of the game. Hands me a culling float, because he's like, by God, we're going back to fishing the second. So you drop it in there, and he's fishing, and he won co-angler of the year that year because he was just so dialed. But dude, he was like, I think it's green. Like, when I went to call him, he remembered. And I'm like, are you sure? He's like, yes, dude, it was green. You get him out on the beam, it was green. Like, he was just so, he was way more dialed than I was. And I was like, you should be up here and I should be back there. Because you're a legend. And obviously now he's a very successful bass pro. But
he's doing really well. Yeah. Me and him almost died when I crashed at Smith.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he was in the boat with me. He was holding, you remember they used to give you the little handheld camera?
Yeah.
Like seventh or eighth or whatever. And they were just getting ready to swap him with what's his name? I can't remember I can't remember his name. I just talked to him the other day. But he went to swap him, and I was like, oh, next stop, we'll swap him, you know? And that's when the boat spun around, you know, and ran myself over.
That's right. That was one of their company boats too, right? Like, they had to fish out of theirs.
Yeah, that was the final day to use the Evinrude with the Ranger or whatever.
Was that Z boat that Ranger made? That
I think it was more of like a motor malfunction. I think the motor trimmed out on itself, you know, because that's what you hit something, or when the motor comes out of the water, the boat instantly.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So I'm thinking, I mean, I didn't hit anything, but I'm thinking that the motor just came out or trimmed itself out, or maybe it was a short. I have no idea. But it was funny. Like, I don't really remember much of anything. But New said he came up and he still had his phone in his hand. Like, he didn't lose it. He flew out with his cell phone because he went over my head. I tried to hang on. That was a bad. I should have just let go. And I hung on, and then the motor got me. But it was just, that was great. I tell him about that all the time. Like, he almost died. 5 days before that, he was changing his mom's oil and the car fell on him, broke his collarbone. So he had a broke collarbone already, and he was in the boat riding with me. And then when I threw him out, and we both end up in the hospital. I was like, man, can you imagine if he died that day?
That's terrible.
Yeah, terrible. See,
two of the best bass pros in the country almost died together after Brian almost died earlier in the week.
What? Yeah. The- He had something following him. That's all I can think.
Black cloud moon.
Yeah.
Damn it. I forgot about that happening to you, though. And it was cold as hell in that event, too, right? Wasn't it?
Luckily, because the engine cut off, but the prop still hit me in the leg. And luckily, I had, like, I think I had jeans on, my snow pants, and my rain suit. So when that prop, even though the engine was shut off, it still hit my leg so hard, but it didn't break the skin, you know, just separated like the muscle under there or whatever. But we're good, we're still breathing.
John Cox. So you want to go fish with John?
Well, that's what everybody gives me crap for going slow, but I mean, that's it. I'm just trying to be safe, you know. It's a lot safer at 35 than it is at 70.
Yeah, 70 will send you places that you don't want to go. Dude, what is it about Smith Lake now? I was just down there this week. Now I'm scared. What was that Aaron Britt guy? He ran on the damn bank there. That happened to you. Maybe it's like Lakeland. They say Lake Lanier is the most haunted lake in the country. Yeah. Maybe it's Smith, dude. Maybe.
Yeah, there's something going on there. It's just, it's really weird. Like, I actually had years later in that same place where I ran myself over, I had the motor trim out in the same area. on my boat, like years later. And I was going like 20 and I felt it trimming up and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like in the same spot, like gave me chills thinking about it. But that's what made that win there a couple years ago so sweet, because it was like, you know, all this stuff. And like, and there was some other stuff I'd rather not talk about even before that, that happened when I went there. So it was like, Smith's always been a weird place for me.
I can only imagine. I'm not going to, we won't dig that up.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say to that, that you got, I forgot that you got hit by the, what was that, 2013 maybe? It was around there, had to be.
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah, it was probably somewhere in there.
Was that the same one that Drew Benton and Scott Martin got in a fight in? I think it was. That was the exact same one.
Yeah, maybe it was. Well, remember that though. I remember that.
Yeah, I do too.
One knock or something.
Yeah, they were fighting. I mean, yeah, it was amazing. It was something great. Great TV. I miss this. We need more of that on Bass Fishing.
Yeah, we were. I was telling the guys. I was like, we might stage something where like I'll let like Swindle push me into the live well tank or something in the check in something. We'll do.
Listen, G's getting older, man, and as he gets older, I mean, and he's nearly like 80, I think now. Yeah. He gets more ornery, dude. You better be careful. Don't even tell him to change it. He might get real. I don't know. He's
I'd be like, hey, we're just acting.
He's like, this damn live scope. I'm gonna tell you what. Actually, he doesn't get that triggered about it, but he does get a little fired. He does get a little fired up sometimes.
I mean, I understand it. I mean, it's it's just changed, you know. It's changed a lot, but
the whole sport has, man. But, yeah. Dude, talking about FLW real quick. Do you? Because I think this, but I don't compete there. I just work with them. I feel like MPFL is very reminiscent of the FLW Tour days.
Yeah, I mean, it is very similar with the, a lot of the guys. I mean, I talk to a lot of the guys at MPFL. You know, same thing I do with now the guys that were at FLW that are at MLF, but. Yeah, it does have that more, the MPFL's got like that family vibe, you know, everybody, I think a lot of the guys hang out outside of that whole, outside the tournaments too. So I think that's what helps. And everybody seems to really, work good together and stuff.
Will you room with Landon Tucker since Keith's gone? And can you teach Landon how to count next year?
Yeah. Poor Landon. We were adding up and I'm like, dude, you had more weight than the thing, you know, and it was terrible. And I was like, we got to go check your live well. And we went out there and I was like, oh gosh.
I mean, they are way too hard to catch to leave one in the boat.
I know. So like, that's always my fear. Cause I mean, it's great going to have the trailer weigh in every time, you know, pull the boat out, run it through the weigh in, it's nice, but that's my biggest fear, jumping up, you know, cause you got people over here in the video and you're taking pictures, you got Al up there.
It is easy to do.
There's a lot of distractions going on.
We've had it a couple times in the 3 years, but I like to give Landon a hard time because he had such a great day one, big stringer. And I'm like, dude, you're never going to beat Patrick Walters leaving him in the boat. Like that's not going to happen. You can't do that. You need every ounce you can get to beat that guy.
Right. Right. Yeah. Hopefully, I don't know. Hopefully Landon got a check. We knew it was going to be close. I was like, I hope that fish doesn't cost them.
I'm not sure that he did. I think he may have missed it. MPFL, speaking of it, dude, gonna be some new names. We haven't announced everything yet. They're sorting through everything right now. We got some of the guys that have fished for 3 years that are leaving. We got some I know John Cox having some health issues. He's been with us, one of our most loyal guys. He's leaving, so you're gonna be the only Cox over there. Next year,
and hopefully he'll get better.
Yeah, man, he's got some things he's dealing with, but we're gonna miss him. But there's a few guys that have made announcements. But man, I think we're gonna have such a killer group over there next year, and it's gonna be a lot of damn fun, man. I'm
looking
forward to it.
Yeah, the guys are definitely really hungry. You know, I guess you could say, or they're really. They really get after it over there. It's just cool to see, you know, I enjoyed it a lot this year fishing it. So, looking forward to next year. I am a little disappointed. I'm not going to get to fish any of the same tournaments as Keith.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
That kind of stinks, but, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
You're but you're proud of him just like I am. I can't sugarcoat. I'm pissed he's going to be PT. I wish he was just MPFL for life. But yeah. I get it, man. He's got this big opportunity to go over there and do big things, and I hope that he can sink his teeth in and get in, you know, for a second year of that Bass Pro Tour. Because, man, he's like you. He's great on the water when he's on live, breaking down what he's doing as he does it, and they're lucky to have him. I know that. So I'm looking at the camera and going, don't sup, Boyd. Take care of my dude over there, okay, Boyd? All right. You already pissed off James Watson. Don't mess with my man, Keith.
I couldn't sleep after Watson's thing. Like I tried. Like I watched it, and I just like, I mean, it's just the reality is. I mean, it's like, you know, I have to try to find another plan, some kind of plan to do, you know, as time goes on. I feel like.
Well, man, I can tell you that it does, I think that a lot of people can relate to what you just said, because I've been through the ringer with my career in the last few years as far as just changes, right? Like nothing ever stays the same. And I think that's that's a cliche saying, but it's a guarantee that the only thing that's a guarantee is things will change, right? Like it is, right. Especially in business. Like if you would have ever told me the Forcewood Cup in 2023 wouldn't exist anymore, a tournament that you were very proud to win. My friend Brad Knight was very proud to win. Brian Thrift, Scott Sugg, so many great memories from the Forcewood Cup. Justin Atkins, just to name a few. They were epic tournaments. They were always really hard to win. And it was another big marquee championship. So to have it erased, I never thought I'd see that. I never thought I would see the name FLW Tour go away, right? Like I never thought I would see that. Just like like I said, in my day job, I never thought the TH Marine would be owned by the Huntley family. Like Bill Huntley was one of these, you know, Bass Fishing Hall of Famer. I never thought I would see that, but that's the only guarantee, man. Like it really is. And I think that, you know, people see all the things I have going on in life and they're like, dang, man, I don't know how you do all of it. And it's like, well, it's called a backup plan.
Yeah, you gotta be prepared. I mean, it is.
That's right, dude. You got a house full of youngins just like I do, and they ain't cheap.
No,
they're not cheap. So I think it's, but that's a reality. Like James, you know, and James, look, James has been successful far and away in life through real estate and all that. Like James will be fine in the long run, but I think it hit me as well. Like listening to him, and a lot of people are like, oh, he's a crybaby or he's this or that for his rant, but it is very dang true, man. If that's what you've worked so hard for, to get there and to ride into battle essentially with them against the industry at times and different things, it sucks that you're like, hey, okay, bye, you're out. Like that does suck, man. It really does. Very much so. So no MLFLW for you next year, MPFL, Bassmaster Elites, and whatever tournaments you can fish around home, I'm guessing.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. I mean, it's going to be pretty packed full the beginning half, but I'm sure I'll try to find something in between there. I don't know. I had a blast. The Tackle Warehouse guys came down and we filmed for a couple of days the other day.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy doing that. You know, you go out, just hang out, you know, jump around different lakes, try to get, you know, get a bite going, you know, with no practice or anything. So it was kind of fun. I maybe try to do a little more of that.
Those are great people too. The Tackle Warehouse people are great freaking folks.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, they when they come, it's like, you know, when your cousins or brothers come from wherever, you know, it's just like, you know, you don't want them to leave. I mean, I was sad when they left. I was like, man, I was like, but yeah.
Really we'll good people. Stuff.
Yeah.
Well, buddy, I appreciate your time as always, because I know you're a very busy man. You're chasing the youngins around. I'm going to say one thing in closing, please, after all these boat stories we're hearing, please be careful trying to get an alligator in your boat. Please. Can you just do that?
It's not like my mom, my wife, they're like, please.
You
they're
need like, your hands.
Gone. They're like, don't go anymore. And I was like,
it's very, like, I mean, you need these.
I know. I do more of the snagging. I'm like the guy jumps on the front, throws the big treble, you know.
You should fish MLF.
Yeah.
You'd be great over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, instead of going back forward facing sonar, you could completely resurrect your career, dude. You can go back to getting wins. Like,
oh gosh, that's terrible.
But is it not true? I mean, come on. I'm like, no. John Cox, everybody.
Oh, man.
All right. That's all she wrote with John Cox. Hit him with one more time. Cox Watch. Going to fish MPFL next year. Going to be on the Bassmaster Elite Series. He's got Red Crest. He's got the Classic. He got the MPFL Championship all in a pile right there. I don't know how he keeps up with it. His lovely bride certainly helps him with that. But an amazing man, amazing angler. And I'd just like for you all to send, prayers that he doesn't get his arm bit off like Chubbs by an alligator this week as he attempts to wrangle a gator with forward-facing sonar. Absolutely amazing that he is that. That's a statement that he's thinking about incorporating forward-facing sonar into his fishing a little bit more. It is certainly making an impact. We all know that, and the arguments will continue, I'm sure, on whether it should or should not be allowed. I think it's very cool, but I can tell you right now, he don't damn sure don't make it easy, because them Smith Lake bass shot me double birds all weekend long looking at him on that. We caught a few on it, but it was a very, very few. I appreciate each and every one of y'all tuning in, man. It's awesome getting to do this week in and week out. Hope you enjoyed the John Cox interview. We'll have some more goodness for you. And you never know when a bonus episode might pop up during the middle of the week. Lots going on. I appreciate each and every one of you. Gonna take you out with Biloxi Blues, and I will see y'all next week.
See ya. Jackson Town to Tupelo, I never could make it last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts, well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.